Last week, Spotify made the news in a big way. Long story short, and don't worry, it will get longer again, they announced changes to their payout structure that will most certainly demonetize an enormous amount of artists. It's a move competition law experts are calling, quote, discriminatory and exploitative, and it's both a huge deal and really not a big deal at all in some rude ways. Welcome to Get Offset. My name is Emily, and you look absolutely radiant today. Just stunning. But yeah, let's talk about Spotify. For well over 10 years now, Spotify has reigned supreme in the world of music streaming. They basically invented the idea of consuming music for free as long as you sat and listened to some ads. And that way it felt like radio, but you got to build your own playlists instead of Selector building it for you based on a not-so-complex series of do's and don'ts. When it launched, Spotify promised to be a savior of the recording industry. They were going to end the illegal theft of recorded music once and for all. And I'll be damned, they did it. They really, really did it. Let's get back to it. I'm starting to realize how long ago Spotify started, and it seems to reason that at least some of you might not really remember P2P, that's peer-to-peer, music theft, and what a big deal it was. I mean, we've all heard of Napster, I hope, and how that was a turning point for the recording industry. People used to sell millions of records, like kind of a lot of performers did that, actually. It was still, you know, rare and newsworthy, but now it's huge news when someone actually goes platinum for moving physical units like CDs, tapes, vinyl, and even full album downloads for that matter. But when Napster launched, it was a reckoning for record companies and the artists who made a pittance on them. Suddenly, people were stealing music and in high quality. It used to be that if you wanted a song for free, a friend either had to make a cassette copy, which degraded the fidelity, or similarly, you'd have to record a song off the radio in real time, again on a cassette tape. Again, quality, not so great. Then there was both peer-to-peer theft of music online, where you'd essentially either connect your computer to another computer via torrenting, or you just find an illegal download somewhere else, which is what I did sometimes. But perhaps equally impactful was borrow to burn. Now you could borrow a friend's CD, rip it to your computer, and then burn yourself an exact copy of that CD in the same quality as the original. Or if you were an early adopter of MP3 players, of course you could like load songs onto there, or then your phone could do that. It was theft, but I don't think people really saw it that way at the time. I didn't, and I'm still not sure how I feel about borrow to burn, because on one hand, it's yours and you should be able to loan it to a friend, but can your friend legally be expected to make an absolute facsimile of it? Probably not. But despite artists talking about this, I mean, people still hate Metallica for this, it grew and grew every year. People weren't buying music because as long as a friend had it, everyone in your friend group had it. If you had a fast internet connection, like at a college, you could listen to any song ever, whenever you wanted. Enter Spotify. For those who don't know, I actually majored in music business at Belmont University, starting college 8 years after Napster launched. Even then, we heard rumblings of this company in Europe that would let you listen to any song you wanted. You just had to listen to an ad first. And when it launched into America, I was one of the first people to sign up. I was an underpaid recent college grad, after all. And for what it's worth, I still bought a lot of music. To this day, I stream a ton of songs, but most of what I stream is stuff I've already bought on vinyl, but not all of it. And I digress. Let's get back to Spotify and its clones. There were plenty of alternatives to Spotify even when it launched, some pretty immediately. I'd go to music business events and see these US-based startups buying sponsorship slots, hosting parties, and talking about everything they had to offer artists. One of those things was data. Imagine planning a tour and being able to see where people are actively listening to your music. Imagine being able to target those fans with ads to go to your show, sign up for your email list, buy your merch, and yeah, you could do a lot of those things. But what some of those companies weren't telling you is that they weren't even getting licensing rights to the music where they were streaming. One example eventually closed due to lawsuits. Grooveshark, that's at least one, and I only knew about that because they were a big host of a lot of those events. And, you know, Spotify did get rights for music, and it thrived because of it. They got the rights by working directly with record labels and later self-service distributors like DistroKid to work out deals on how artists get paid for the music on Spotify, how they share the revenue from those ads, how they share revenue from subscriptions. Now's probably a good time to talk about royalties. When we talk about money made from recorded music, we're generally talking about performance or mechanical royalties. A performance royalty is whenever a song is performed in public for others to hear. This is a cover band at a coffee shop, that's a radio station playing a song during drive time, there's a jukebox at a bar, a ringback tone on your vintage Nokia. There are also mechanical royalties. That's a set amount of money that goes to songwriters whenever a copy of their song is sold. So let's say you buy a 45-inch single with one song on it, same one on both sides. All the songwriters are splitting 9.1 cents for that sale via royalties. If you sell a 10-song CD and each songwriter is just one songwriter per song, then you need to pay 9.1 cents to each of those songwriters individually. If the songs have multiple writers, there's a split involved of that 9.1 cents. Again, it gets complicated. And from there, it gets even more complicated. For example, terrestrial radio stations only benefit the songwriter, at least in the United States, last time I looked, while satellite radio performance royalties can be paid to the artist as well. And then how do you split those royalties? How do you pay them out? That's in the weeds. We really don't need to get there. So from my understanding from a 2020 article by Jeff Price, that Spotify uses something called all-in royalties. That means it's a single fee that covers both performance and mechanical royalties. Because is streaming a song on a computer a performance, or is it a sale? Streaming falls into a weird spot where, yes, if you're playing Spotify at a restaurant, that's a performance. So should it be more like a radio station, or should it be more like buying a lifetime license to the new Adele record on iTunes? Where does it fall on that spectrum? I guess this is how they figured they ought to do that. But these fees are definitely negotiated by labels and artists with pull. But most of us self-serve our music to Spotify and other streaming services, so we have a pretty good idea of how it pays out for us in those situations. And people have done the math. On average, you need 229 streams on Spotify to make a dollar. That's not a lot of money. That's already not a lot of money. But some artists do make good money on Spotify and streaming. When Spotify's founder said that some artists have told him in private that they make good money from streaming, I believe him. However, most of us make next to nothing. But it's a big difference between next to nothing and actually nothing, which is what a lot of us are going to get now. That's because Spotify's big announcement was that they were going to set minimums for artists to get payouts. If your song doesn't clear 1,000 streams in a year, they're not going to pay you at all for it. Goodbye $3 to $5 that would have otherwise been yours. You could have been a candy bar or half a bag of Doritos, damn. But is it really, really such a big deal? Think about YouTube. Several years ago, YouTube creators were up in arms when the video site moved their goalposts for monetization. Now, channels need at least 1,000 subscribers, period, and a whopping 4,000 watch hours, that's over the past 365 days, to get and stay monetized. And no, exceptions were not being made for creators that had previously had the benefits of monetization. It's money that they used to get. Now they can't get it at all. One point was that while it's by no means easy to get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, I still think that first 1,000 is the hardest. It's still not that big an ask in the long run. 4,000 watch hours, that's harder, but it should come pretty naturally with that first 1,000, 1,500 subscribers. YouTube argued that most of those creators were only making a few dollars a year, so it took them forever to meet that minimum payout threshold that YouTube/Google sets, which is $100. If you never make that 100th dollar, that $99 will be sitting there forever. And Spotify is making a similar argument that it isn't that hard to get 1,000 streams in a year, and that the people who will be demonetized from this weren't even making that much money to begin with. Okay, but hear me out. This is horse shit. Imagine if YouTube had said, oh, you have to get to X number of views per video to make money on that video. It wouldn't incentivize people to build channels that make some daring content. It would incentivize the absolute trash that people know will get views. It will hinder creativity and render all the views on videos that don't reach that mark as absolute garbage, a total waste of time. You are bad, and you should feel bad. Spotify is not making this minimum on the artist side. They're making it on the song side per song, 1,000 streams per song. That will de-incentivize albums for singles, which we already know Spotify wants. Daniel Ek is on record saying he wants artists to release singles every few months versus full albums. Over an entire album, this could render parts of it absolutely worthless. If you have 12 songs and they all cap out at 999 streams per year, that's $36 to $60 suddenly gone. Again, that's not a lot of money, but it's your money. That's the thing. It's your money. Mechanical royalties, those are set in stone. Performance royalties are more of a floating goalpost. Again, that shit is complicated. But people get checks from BMI and CSAC and SoCan because it's their money and they earned it. Even if that check is small, they're owed that money. And it will be sitting for them until they hit whatever that minimum is. Because again, they're owed it. There are contracts in place. You legally have to get blanket licenses to operate a restaurant in the United States, whatever. But it's your money. You're owed it. And that's that. And it's really just the performance royalties that are complicated, and they're weird because it's honestly super hard to track when your song is covered in a coffee shop, played on a radio station, put on a restaurant's playlist, etc. Spotify knows exactly how many times your songs are being streamed. They know what they should owe you. They're just deciding you're not worth it anymore. And I don't really like comparing this to YouTube ad revenue. Sharing ad money with YouTube is something that they never really had to do, is it? They didn't used to monetize their shorts, but they started doing so to convince people to stop giving that content to TikTok for free. Give it to YouTube for 5 cents for every 1,000 streams instead. I'm sorry, views. Oh, and Spotify has already done this. That is to say, take monetization away from people. This is exactly what Spotify for Podcasters did a few months ago to me and other small podcasters. At first, I was too small to be monetized. Then they decided to widen the monetization pool. They added me to it, paid me so well that I convinced friends to move to Spotify for Podcasters, and then they took the monetization away from me. Just like that. I was making pretty decent money too, so it really hurt. I mean, I was getting $11 to $14 for every 1,000 downloads of this podcast. That's way better than they were paying musicians, and better than I even got in ad revenue on YouTube. You know, probably on purpose, because YouTube also pays for views in the same way that Spotify was paying me. But this is music, and the rules are different. Podcasts and even YouTube, it's still the Wild West in a lot of ways. The music business is older than you'd think, and sure, it's full of people who try to get you to do things for exposure for free. It's also, thankfully, very full of people who will tell you to not do this shit for free, because it's bad for everyone when someone else sees you giving away for free. And that is the case at every level of the music business. I don't need to tell you the music industry is tough, and that it gets tougher every single year. At the root, it's such a passion-driven business, and that tends to happen in passion-driven industries. People will do things for free until they burn themselves out. Then there's someone in the wings eager to replace them. You see it in places like churches and nonprofits too. The music industry is also full of people, I think, who really do love music. They also love money. Oh, they love money so much. And they will rob artists blind while convincing themselves that they're doing good for them, and they'll do that so quickly. Spotify solved peer-to-peer. They solved borrow-to-burn, those practices that nearly killed the recording industry. But they didn't solve the problem of artists struggling to rub two pennies together. How many streams does that take? 30? 35? Music fans, I know that your playlists are on Spotify. I know that Spotify Wrapped is fun, but there are other streaming services out there that will pay you way better than Spotify. They'll pay the artists way better than Spotify. I've been paying out of my own pocket for Tidal since 2016, and no, this is not an ad for Tidal. You can copy your playlists over there from Spotify to Tidal. It has almost the same music, and Tidal's working on new features all the time. I really recommend it. It takes like 100 streams to make a dollar on Tidal. You get those two pennies and two songs. And by the way, your most listened to artist as a Tidal subscriber gets a direct portion of your subscription fee every month at one of their tiers. I forget which one. I think the Beths got mine in October. You can even look up who your most listened to artist was. And you know, so yeah, I know I keep getting away from it, but listen, streaming isn't going anywhere. We all know that. Musicians struggle to pull their music off Spotify even if they want to. Now they do need the exposure. It can help a lot, but it also doesn't mean you don't deserve money for exposure. That's why headliners are supposed to pay their openers. It's why movies pay sync fees to use music to add emotion to their big scene and make their own movie better. Everyone deserves to be paid for their work, their art. Consumers, as usual, have the bigger pool here. Don't blame the small artists for participating in a society they didn't build. They're just trying to build a career and make you something cool to enjoy. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Get Offset. I'd hoped to get into a few more things. I ran out of time, full disclosure. I'm recording this at kind of late on Monday night. But I wanted to get some thoughts out there and get some feedback. What do you think? Do you think it's just not a big deal because it's not a lot of money per artist? Or do you think no matter how little an artist makes, technically, that they should be able to get even those small payouts? Because something I saw somebody say on Threads was that even though it was just a small amount of money, it was validating. And I can't stop thinking about how right that is, how validating it is to, you know, not being able to pay more than one or two bills on my YouTube revenue, but to get anything at all. That is very validating that there is some tangible worth there and somebody else thinks it. So I don't love Spotify taking away that validation from people. Well, again, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for understanding. Please do the like, comment, subscribe, etc. things. Check out the YouTube, all that stuff. I love you all. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And as always, let me know what you thought about the episode. One, two, three. Goodbye.